Now, with the climate conference COP25 underway in Madrid, Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg is expected to attend a protest march through the streets of the Spanish capital today. Now, the demonstrators are calling on world leaders to step up their efforts to reduce emissions in order to reach the goals of the Paris Climate Agreement. So, let's take a look at how they are faring, though, with Deutsche Welle, DW's reporter, Malte Rovert-Kalban. A very good morning to you, sir.
Hey, good morning to you, Kino. Good to be back.
Great to have you back. Now, on the first day of the conference, leaders from 200 participating countries pledged a green revolution. Is that a serious commitment that we're seeing from them? And we also need to look at that within the context of some of the biggest players who are also the biggest polluters.
Yeah, absolutely. And at this point, it's still kind of hard to say what the outcome of this conference will really be, as it's still on the way. But what I will say is this: we have to take these conferences, these climate conferences, with a grain of salt. Because if we look back to the Paris Climate Agreement 2015, which, of course, it was a landmark agreement because it was the first time there was, you know, this big getting together around a common goal. But if we look at what's happened since then, emissions are still at an all-time high. So it's not really surprising that protesters are a little bit angry.
Politicians all over the world are not only ignoring the climate emergency, but they are leading a war against effective climate action. Instead, they're protecting the interests of the fossil fuel industry.
Yeah, that was Linus Dolder from the Fridays for Future movement who spoke around the conference. And I think in a way he's got a point. It's going to be really important to watch not just the words coming out of the conference, but the actions that politicians, that governments take in the aftermath of the conference in the weeks, months, years that follow.
Yeah, and I mean, how dire is the situation? Do we have a grip on how dire it is as we speak?
Yeah, when I was preparing for talking to you, I read this headline: growth in global carbon emissions slowed in 2019. And I thought, wow, that's really great news. Mm. You know, finally something positive happening. But then I looked into it a bit more closely and I found this quote by Glenn Peters, who is the research director of the Center for International Climate Research that led the study. And he had this to say.
So this year we found that global carbon dioxide emissions went up around about 0.6%, which is a little bit slower than the trend in the last decade, but still emissions are going up. There's a few factors behind that, some related to a weaker economy, some related to some weather events, and some to climate policy.
So what he's saying is, and this is really important to understand, the growth in carbon emissions slowed, but they're still going up. That's what we have to take away from this. And they're not, the growth necessarily didn't slow because of the climate action, but also because of other factors like a weaker economy or weather events, as you just said. And if we look at another report, the emissions gap report by the UN, we see that CO2 emissions are at an all-time high and efforts to reduce them would have to increase fivefold to hit the target of limiting climate change to 1.5 degrees.
Oh.
So the situation is dire. It's been dire for years, but you know, with every year that passes without the situation getting better, you know, we're essentially missing out on combating this in an effective way.
This is as much a leadership crisis as it is a climate crisis, because we need those leaders to make some of the tough decisions, and they're not, especially some of the big ones. But one of the things, though, that's been on the COP25 agenda is this whole thing of carbon trading, which has been touted as a mechanism to reduce emissions. How's it supposed to work? What is it?
Yes, exactly. This is high up the agenda, this COP. It's been around for a while, the idea, but now they're finally getting down to hashing out how it's supposed to work with everyone. Essentially what it is, it's putting a price on carbon emissions and then they can be traded among countries. That sounds quite difficult, but let's just imagine South Africa is emitting less than it planned. It gets certificates for these carbon dioxide emissions that it saved. Germany, on the other hand, for the sake of argument, doesn't hit its targets and emits more than it planned. Mm. It can now go to South Africa and buy these certificates to offset the amount that it overproduced.
Oh.
In that way, it is not very good to emit more than you planned because it's getting expensive. So the idea is that this will incentivize countries to go green, to lower their emissions, and get us to achieving the Paris Climate Agreement.
Now the certificate thing, I mean, is it in the form of money, or I mean, what is the actual mechanism that would be the deterrent?
Exactly, it's money. These certificates that you get these certificates when you produce less emissions than you planned, and then you can sell them to other countries so that have overproduced emissions.
Okay.
So it's a market mechanism, which is kind of an irony in a way, because obviously market mechanisms are also something that have fueled climate change for a long time.
Now, the one thing I've always been fascinated about as well is the sort of economics of climate change. And there is a new report out that tracks which countries are hit hardest financially, right? Can you give us some insight into that?
Exactly. It's a climate risk index. And that's tracking exactly that. It's tracking the financial damage. And it's also tracking the loss of human life due to events triggered by climate change. And over the last 20 years, climate change cost 3.2 trillion euros. That's 52 trillion South African rands. And it also costs the life of around 500,000 people. So this is massive. And if one really important point that this report hammers home is if we look at the countries that are being hit by it, number one is Puerto Rico. Number two is Myanmar. Number three is Haiti. Number four is the Philippines. Number five is Pakistan. Most of them are less developed countries. Those are hit the hardest. And also, they're not being compensated by those big players, by the big industrialized nations that are mainly responsible for climate change. So this is a big matter of debate, and this will also be addressed at this year's COP. Finding a mechanism that those nations that are responsible, largely responsible for climate change, will also help smaller nations, compensate them for their efforts to reduce their emissions as well.
Okay, interesting. And then finally, Germany. How is Germany doing in terms of implementing its climate targets?
Not very well, to say the least. So the targets are there, which is, a start, but in achieving them, there's still a lot more to be done. 2020 is just a few years away, and by then the government said emissions should be cut by about 40%. We're way off, not going to achieve that. Then the coal exit is underway by 2038. The German government is phasing out coal, but a lot of experts say that's too far in the future. We need to bring the state forward, because if we keep producing coal, if we keep burning coal, we're not going to hit the targets that we set ourselves, and we set the German government set those targets in accordance with the Paris Climate Agreement. And another thing is that traffic emissions are still rising, despite the government for years now they have tried to switch to electric mobility to help the German car industry to make the switch, and they are slowly making the switch, but what's still lacking is the infrastructure. The charging stations need to be there, otherwise why should consumers buy an electric car if they can't charge it, if they can't travel throughout the country with it? So there's still a lot to be done in Germany, same in a lot of countries around the world, and this COP conference, this climate conference, is certainly a way to foster this.
Well, Malte, great chatting to you as always. Malte Rover-Kallmann is obviously a reporter with DW. Great insights, and thank you for taking the time to prepare that for us.
Thank you very much. Not a problem at all.
Great. Have a wonderful weekend.